With training camp inching closer, we begin our position-by-position breakdown. Helping us look at the running backs today is Ross Uglum of PackersTalk.com and the From the Benches podcast. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for training camp, and to do that, we have a guest joining us today.
Expert interview.
His name is Ross Uglum. He's from PackersTalk.com and the From the Benches podcast. Ross, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Brian. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You bet. You bet. So in addition to PackersTalk.com, Ross, you also write for the North Dakota State site on the Scout.com network. So to kick things off here, Ross, can you tell us a little bit about your role at Scout and how someone from North Dakota becomes a Packers fan?
Well, it's actually kind of a funny story. Green Bay Packers and North Dakota State University share the exact same team colors, that forest green and a gold or a yellow. When I was a very young kid, I turned on the TV, saw the Packers playing, thought that they were the Bison. And the next year after that, Green Bay won Super Bowl 31. So I was hooked. I was stuck, and I've been stuck ever since. North Dakota, obviously a state with no professional football teams. The closest thing, would be the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, that didn't work out for me, which is probably for the best. As far as my role with Scout.com, the gentleman who runs the University of Minnesota's page talked to the higher-ups at Scout or at Fox Sports and said, I think what we've got here is a fan base worthy of a Scout page. The FCS doesn't have, actually, another Scout page, but with NDSU's success, obviously being five-time national defending champions at football and actually having a pretty top-notch mid-major basketball program, I cover men's basketball and football, obviously, for the Scout Network, and that is almost a beat writer job as far as, you know, being at press conferences, being at games live and things like that, so it's plenty, along with my responsibilities at Cheesehead TV and at Packers Talk and with two podcasts, actually. The Bison Report has a podcast as well. It's certainly enough to keep me on my toes.
Very cool, very cool. So with that, I think it's only appropriate we start our running backs conversation today with NDSU alum John Crockett, someone whose career you followed very closely. So give us your thoughts on Crockett. And I think the big question regarding him this season is he ready to become a more consistent contributor in his second season in the NFL?
Well, John's a player that had some admissions issues as far as getting into college. Probably would have been a Michigan State Spartan if not for those issues. Instead, went to NDSU, sat out a year, and then played for the Bison, played extremely well. Was a part of a couple of running back rotations until his senior year. And then his senior year, he absolutely exploded because he was the man. Almost 2,000 yards rushing. They opened up the passing game as far as John was considered. And I really thought what he put on film as a senior with performances even, you know, against Kansas State, Iowa State, or the Big 12. I thought he was a draftable running back somewhere between rounds 5 and 7. Didn't end up going that way for John, and the Packers signed him as one of their priority free agents after the draft. He eventually usurped Alonzo Harris after whatever trouble he and Eddie Lacy got into, and was the third back for the rest of the season. As far as your question is concerned, yes, absolutely. I think that Crockett is ready to contribute. Mike McCarthy made some comments about him. I know the quarterback really likes him, and I think that he's a player that offers something a little bit different than a James Starks or an Eddie Lacy. Yes, his 40 time at the combine was only 4.62, but he is an explosive back. He's extremely agile as a football player, has a lot of moves in the hole and in the open field that, you know, a 40 time of 4.62 doesn't really inform. So that's one thing to watch. And then, like I said, he is a capable pass catcher, and it's not that he's a scat back or a third down back, but I think he brings maybe a little bit more in that realm of the offense than maybe Starks or Lacy does. And just certainly a different kind of back than the one cut guy that James Starks is, or certainly the power guy that Eddie Lacy is.
Definitely. Offers something a little different, and excited to see what John Crockett does this season. But if we get to the rest of the running back position, and we talk about Eddie Lacy, Ross, the story about Lacy this offseason was that he lost a bunch of weight, and then OTAs begin, and some reporters opine they weren't necessarily as impressed as everybody else with his weight loss. So what's the story with Lacy going to be once training camp starts?
Well, it's all up to him at this point, and that may not seem like hard-hitting analysis, but, I mean, this is a contract year for Lacy, and he has to perform or he's not going to get paid. There's been talk of kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation as far as Lacy's concerned. If he performs really well and has a career year, he's probably priced himself out of Green Bay, and if he shows up and puts on tape what he did last year, the Packers probably won't want him back. So that there's a lot of people assuming that this is Lacy's last season in Green Bay. I don't know if I'd go that far, but he's a guy that has to get in shape. I mean, there's no question about it. I think that he probably lost enough weight. I know the beat writers and some guys weren't super impressed by it, but he's also not a guy that you want playing at 215 pounds. I mean, he needs to carry 230 pounds to run like Eddie Lacy. They didn't draft him to run like Barry Sanders. They didn't even draft him to run like James Starks. They drafted him to run like Eddie Lacy, and he's got to carry a little bit more weight than other backs. I know he was working with Tony Horton, the trainer that engineered P90X, and they were trying to just get his body fat percentage down and things like that. But he was playing too heavy last year. There's no question about it. And if he can get his weight down to where he was as a rookie or even as a sophomore, I mean, I think he could easily be a 1,200-yard, 10-touchdown back. And in today's NFL, that's a lot. I mean, I think Adrian Peterson won the rushing title with 1,400-odd yards last year. So if you can get 1,210 out of Lacy, that's I know it's the meaning of this has dwindled in past seasons, but that's a Pro Bowl performance.
No, I mean, that's exactly what Lacy did his first 2 years in the NFL. So I think if he can replicate that, he's pretty much right on track, or, you know, just short of 1,200 yards the first 2 years. But you alluded to James Starks. James Starks enters his seventh season in Green Bay in 2016. Obviously, they think he has signed to offer by, you know, giving him a fairly lucrative contract in the offseason. But is it possible he could get passed up in the pecking order by a guy like Crockett this year?
I tell you one thing that would absolutely lead to that, and that would be a continuation of his ball security issues. I think, you know, Starks is pretty much an ideal number two running back, a guy that can take the load for two or three games if the starter's hurt, but then often gets hurt himself. And that's kind of the second bugaboo, if you will, with James Starks, is that he is a guy that will get hurt. And that's a problem. You need to be accessible on game days, and sometimes Starks isn't always available, and a lot of that's probably not his fault, but it's certainly something over the course of his career, which is now, I think, at least six seasons long, it's become a pattern. But the fumbling, I think, is really what is going to figure out whether or not he gets passed up on the depth chart by John Crockett, because at North Dakota State, fumbling was not a problem for John. And last year, James Starks really had an issue with that. If he's not fumbling, if he's staying healthy, he's a good one-cut back for the Packers' zone blocking system. And he is useful, maybe not elite, but he's certainly useful in the screen game.
Yeah, I thought it was weird last year, like having five fumbles kind of out of character for James Starks. So maybe he goes back to being the old James Starks that's a little more ball secure. Ross, we don't know a ton about the new guys yet, but do you have any thoughts on the rookie running backs that the Packers had in during the offseason, Don Jackson and Brandon Burks?
Yeah, they're both very similar players. Both certainly have a light up on Crockett from a 40 time perspective. They're definitely faster players than John. I'm not sure they're quite as shifty. Burks is a shorter player from a smaller school, obviously at Troy. Not that Nevada is any, you know, world beater either, but both players are kind of the long speed type of running backs that I would say at this point that the Packers lack, but neither Lacy, Starks, or Crockett are going to win any Olympic trials. They're not slow guys by any chance, but both Jackson and Burks are definitely faster sprinters than those guys. So that's something to watch, maybe a home run hitter. I would certainly not be surprised to see one of those two stick on the practice squad, or even Brandon Ross, who the team just signed to move from 88 to 89 guys, moving into training camp here. He's a guy that led Maryland of the Big Ten in rushing, and he didn't quite crack 1,000 yards, but he actually had a 250-yard performance last season, and it was against Indiana, but anytime you can get 250 rushing yards in a Big Ten game, that's certainly an impressive feat.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch these rookies this year during training camp, as we don't have long to wait to actually watch them on the football field or the practice field, so that'll be fun. Ross, if we look at the fullback position, do you think Aaron Ripkowski is ready to fill the shoes of John Kuhn this year?
I do. I think you're going to maybe see a little bit of a different role there, as far as Rip is probably going to be on special teams like Kuhn was. He's probably going to lead block, but I don't think that you're going to see those formations that you saw specifically, like when you think of the fourth and great play against the Bears when Rodgers came back from the collarbone and Kuhn flew across the formation and chip blocked Peppers and things like that. You won't see the 3-by-1 where the one is Ripper. I think you'll see maybe Randall Cobb in the backfield in those situations, maybe Ty Montgomery, maybe John Crockett. But I think Rutkowski is ready to do the special teams things that Kuhn did, ready to do the run blocking things that Kuhn did, but maybe isn't the pass blocker or the pass receiver that Kuhn was later on in his career. I know Rodgers always said that the only guy, you know, close to me as far as knowledge of this offense is John Kuhn. And it would be a little bit ridiculous, honestly, even to expect that from Ripkowski at this point. So I think parts of his game, and I think he's actually probably a little bit better blocker than Kuhn, certainly more explosive at this point in his career. So you'll gain some things and you'll lose some things, I think, this season going from Kuhn to Ripper, but it might open up some interesting wrinkles in the offense because of the two slot receivers that they have that have the ability to step in at tailback.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very fair assessment of Aaron Ripkowski and a very good one. The only other fullback in camp is Elsteve Squirewell, and obviously he's another guy we don't know a ton about just yet, but what do you think are the odds the Packers keep two fullbacks on the roster this year?
I think it's almost none. I really do. I think when you've got the, you know, potential, and I don't think it'll happen, but the potential for seven wide receivers that you need to keep around in one form or fashion after last year's crew got healthy, obviously including Jordy Nelson, obviously including Ty Montgomery. I don't know if the Packers want to give up on Janis and Aberderis. Or either one. And then, you know, they drafted Trevor Davis, who has the fastest straight line speed on the team at this point. So you're for sure keeping six wide receivers, maybe even seven. I know there's some prospects at the tight end position that they enjoy, Perillo, Henry, things like that. I think if anything, a second fullback is going to be Mitchell Henry or Justin Perillo in the backfield, and probably not a second true fullback, because they're going to want to keep more versatile guys that can do more things than just play fullback, which is kind of crazy considering that we won the Super Bowl carrying three fullbacks.
Yeah, absolutely. Might actually take an injury for Squire Well to make the roster, but wish him luck nonetheless. Not going to make any presumptions about him just yet till training camp starts. So we'll see. Maybe he'll surprise. But Ross, I mean, that pretty much takes us through the whole running back position. Before we let you go, is everything going okay at the Scout.com network there? They made some news the other day.
As far as I know, I'm not really all that high on the totem pole. I'm the editor at the North Dakota State site, but they kind of just give me instruction, and then I take that and run with it. We're doing our summer scout series and previewing the players coming back, and also taking a look at summer recruiting, and then also some of the early previews, talking to some beat writers for the colleges that will be playing North Dakota State. So as far as I know, things are doing well.
Good. I'm glad to hear everything's business as usual there. That's probably a battle for the higher-ups in the company anyway. So, but Ross, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your insight on the running backs, and in particular, John Crockett, as you kind of have that personal connection there. Good talking to you. Thanks for being on the show, and we'll do it again sometime.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Take care. Ross Uglum of PackersTalk.com, of Scout, of Cheesehead TV, all sorts of outlets. Glad to have him joining us on the show. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as well as we continue on with
Packers news of the day.
All right. So yesterday, the Packers signed Brandon Ross, and Ross kind of talked about him a little bit. To give you just a little more background on Ross, he was originally signed by the Minnesota Vikings, so a division rival, in the aftermath of the NFL draft, after going undrafted, but then just cut about 3 weeks later, so really didn't spend all that much time in Minnesota. The reason you're listening to me ramble on here's the interesting tidbit I found out about Ross, and it's that his senior season he led the entire Big Ten conference with 6.4 yards per carry in 2015, and so yes, that is ahead of Ezekiel Elliott, who went with the number 4 overall draft choice this past year, or this past draft. It's also ahead of a guy like Indiana's Jordan Howard, who was selected in the middle rounds of the draft. So that's pretty impressive that Ross, from a middling Maryland team, actually led the entire conference in rushing yards per carry. Not rushing yards overall or anything like that, but still, I mean, for a team that, you know, certainly wasn't known for their running game, and maybe they should have ran the ball a little bit more at Maryland and gotten him some more work, because when he did have the ball in his hands, he was productive. And Ross was a contributor for all 4 years of his career at Maryland, accumulating 486 carries in all. Just topping over 2,500 career rushing yards. He scored 19 touchdowns in all over the course of his college career. He also caught 40 passes out of the backfield, but only 5 were his senior year. Kind of saw that number dip a little bit. So maybe that's might be something he'll have to work on once he reaches the pros. He wasn't all that much of a special teams contributor, with just 3 career kickoff returns, all coming his freshman year. So anyway, that's your little scouting report on brand new Packers running back Brandon Ross. We'll obviously get to know a little bit more about him in just over a week when training camp starts. And yeah, so the Packers had, you know, 88 roster spots on the 90-man roster filled when they signed Ross, bringing in now to 89. So we kind of knew at least one move was coming. You know, the Packers weren't going to sit there with two open spots under the limit forever. You know, I've alluded to this before on the show in past episodes, how, you know, they got 5 preseason games this year. I mean, there's no reason they're not going to have the full complement of 90 players to open camp. So, I mean, you can expect the Packers, you know, making another move here. I would expect, again, sometime before camp or, you know, within days of camp starting. And, you know, why they wait on these things, I'm not exactly sure. Perhaps, you know, they feel that, you know, once OTA's ended anyway, it's not like there's much, you know, change happening across the entire NFL. I mean, rosters are pretty much, you know, except for a rare move here and there by a team, you know, rosters at this point are pretty stable. Teams aren't cutting players for this past month or so. I mean, that they know what they've got now that OTAs are over. Now they just got to wait, you know, to get into training camp before they start, you know, injuries start cropping up and they start making some more moves. So we'll see what happens there. But that kind of leads us into the next segment here.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday and over the next 24-hour period or so, first of all, get this out of the way. Delaware North is hosting a job fair being held at Lambeau Field on Wednesday. So if you're interested in working in the service industry and you live near Titletown, you can head to the third floor of the stadium from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesday for jobs ranging from concessions to culinary jobs in the suites. So there's that, but more to the point and a little bit, you know, getting to roster size here. In addition to the job fair, the NFL's supplemental draft is also set to take place on Thursday, just before training camps open. And so after the Packers signed Ross on Tuesday, they, you know, that got them to 89. They still have one roster spot open. So I'm not guaranteeing they add a player via the supplemental draft, but the possibility is there for the Green Bay Packers. There are 6 players eligible for the draft. And just to give you a little bit of supplemental draft preview here, obviously we're not going to go into this really in depth here, but, there are 6 players eligible for the supplemental draft, and just to talk about the most interesting ones here, the ones that may possibly be of interest. The Packers were reportedly one of 6 NFL teams to attend the pro day workout of Calgary wide receiver Rashawn Simonis, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But anyway, he had a pro day workout this week, and the Packers were in attendance, according to the Winnipeg Free Press, one of only 6 NFL teams. And as with the supplemental draft, there are reasons these guys go the route of the supplemental draft, and usually there are problems involved. Not all the time, but, you know, Simonis, I know, was declared academically ineligible or something to do with academics. So that's why he's going this route. That's why he's going in the supplemental draft. But just to talk about the guy as a player here's a guy that led the Canadian university system in receiving last year. He had 65 catches for over 1,300 yards, and he's 6'5" tall. So he's a pretty big target. And the Packers actually scouted him. So there's a name to keep an eye out for, and perhaps the player with the best chance of being selected in the supplemental draft. And it, you know, if you don't follow the supplemental draft, I mean, it's possible nobody gets drafted. There are years nobody does. And it's possible it's only one player gets drafted. It just depends. There's multiple players get drafted. But if you do, basically what you do is you forfeit a pick in the following year's NFL draft, the corresponding pick. So it's just hypothetically, if the Packers wanted to invest a seventh round draft choice in Simon East, they would, forfeit their seventh rounder in the 2017 NFL draft. But if there's someone with a college pedigree, from a bigger college than, a Canadian university, which is, relatively, small scale, compared to what we see in college in the United States. But a guy who came from a bigger program, the Packers may be interested in here. It's Purdue defensive lineman Razan Howard, who also had an academic issue, which led to him, declaring for the supplemental draft. He wasn't a huge contributor at Purdue. He made 23 tackles and 1.5 sacks this past season. But he is a big body, checking in at 6'2" and 325 pounds. So at 325, pretty big. For me, it's not a major concern, but the depth situation on the Packers' defensive line has me a little bit worried, just knowing that Mike Pennell is going to be suspended the first four games of the season. And while the Packers invested into the defensive line with their first-round draft pick, Kenny Clark, he's just a rookie. And so I think to myself, if either of the veterans on the team, like Mike Daniels and LaTroy Guyon, if either of them were to suffer an injury, the Packers might really be in trouble. So maybe that's maybe why a guy like Howard in the supplemental draft might be someone to keep an eye on. And again, maybe not even somebody that they necessarily even have to invest a draft choice into. Once the supplemental draft ends, they can sign these guys as free agents and then don't have to give up a draft choice. So they could go that route there if they wanted, I'm saying. And just one more player to keep an eye on is Virginia Tech long snapper Eddie D'Antuono. Again, I'm not exactly sure if I'm pronouncing that correct, but he's one of the six players eligible for the supplemental draft. Just from the standpoint that the Packers may or may not be totally on board with their current long snapper, Rick Lovato, because, he was kind of brought in as an injury replacement to Brett Goode. And, it's still possible the Packers could bring back Goode now that, it's nearly half a year since he originally tore his ACL, and he could be getting to the point where, now that training camp is about to begin, it's possible he could be ready for football action, or could be, shortly, in a few weeks or another month. I don't really know. Obviously there's not a whole lot of talk about the long snapper position, but with one available in the supplemental draft, they could sign him afterwards. If the Packers just wanted to bring in another guy for training camp, seeing as they have an open roster spot, we'll see. We'll see. So there's three names. There's a couple other guys available in the supplemental draft, a cornerback from Ole Miss, a couple other guys that are probably less interesting, but names to keep an eye on regardless. So there is your NFL supplemental draft preview from a Packers angle and a Packers standpoint. If I were a betting man, the Packers probably won't be getting involved in it, but you never know, and that's why we gave it a little bit of a preview here. So that pretty much does it for today's episode of Railbird Central, as we had our running backs preview episode here. Kind of from here on out, we'll be previewing a position maybe every show or so, every few shows, as we work our way through training camp, things like that. And so that's how things will work for the next few weeks here, as we're just, now less than 2 weeks away from training camp. So thanks to Ross Uglum from PackersTalk.com. for joining us on the show this morning, talking about the running backs. And we'll see you later, folks. My call to action is always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you can do us a solid, go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. Give us a 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long, but it helps us get word out about the show. And that's what we want. We want people being able to hear this show, because we know it's the best Packers podcast on the internet, at least in my opinion. We'll see you, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We'll be back again on Friday, and we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Ocean Billy by Umphrey's McGee on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. We'll be right back.